Welcome, nerds, to another episode of the Nerd News. We are back this week. We have a full episode for all outlets. So no matter where you find the Nerd News as hosted by Generally Nerdy or Dustin or however you know me, then yeah, you're getting everything that goes up on the regular channel just because I don't have the time to edit. Also, Twitter is becoming a full-fledged content platform in a very interesting way to announce it. We have Dune in book news as well as other things, and Beetlejuice 2 has set a release date, and we have so much more to talk about, so let's jump into it. Okay, so first thing of note right here in the housekeeping section, like I said in the intro, this is going to be a full episode for all platforms. So welcome Nerdy Legion, welcome Big Show Nerds, welcome everybody who finds me on the audio outlets. Sometimes the audio is cut short, sometimes it's not. It really depends on the edit. But this time it's going to be one edit for all platforms. In that same vein, I'm going to do everything I can to not have to cut too much out of this, just because honestly the last week has been a little crazy, as should be expected because there was a death in the family. So just trying to get this one out, and it is gigantic because we didn't do an episode last week, so we're going to be doing a little bit of speed reading in certain sections for certain things. But either way, it's going to be news and you will be informed when we are done. All that being said, I think that's what we have for housekeeping, at least for the moment. No live show this week. Again, day job things still getting in the way. That will get taken care of in the weeks to come. I just don't have an ETA on that just yet. So, stay posted. I'm going to try and do something there. Otherwise, we'll keep you updated. That is the housekeeping. Let's jump into the music section. In music, we have one follow-up that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. It has to do with Howard Jones and Adam. I can never say Adam D's last name. The guitar player, producer, amazing jack of all trades from Killswitch Engage. Also, Howard Jones, formerly of Killswitch Engage. We talked previously about the fact that they were going to be doing a project together, and just a real quick update we got from them, they are currently in active production for said project. Still no name for whatever they're going to call it, still no release date or anything for the music, just pretty awesome. Adam and Howard are working together again. So let's move over to new music. We've got a couple of things in new music this week. This is technically a new music video. I'm pretty sure this was released previously, but Motorhead has released an animated video for their cover of Enter Sandman, and yeah, it's Motorhead doing Metallica. What is not to love about this? The video is pretty great. It's an animated, like I said, animated video. There's no real notes here aside from maybe the Metallica version's better, but they wrote the song, so that's generally the case. Either way, go watch the video, go listen to the song, because Motorhead deserves to be praised in any and all aspects possible, and this is one of them. Next on the new music, we have a new piece from Bring Me the Horizon. New track is called Lost. Video came out just a few days ago, and never been big on Bring Me the Horizon. This song is not changing my mind. It is very well produced. This, though, it sounds like they're going back in a more poppy direction. They do kind of oscillate between some really poppy stuff and some really not poppy stuff, and then kind of things in between. This is leaning very hard on that poppy sound that they kind of cultivated a couple albums ago and then steered away from, and now they're back. So yeah, the video's kind of funny. It's really well done. The song is super catchy, very well produced. So like, all of the things here are just really well done. It's just not my genre, and just never could get into Bring Me the Horizon. So if you're a Bring Me the Horizon fan, if you like the poppy rock kind of sound, then this is a recommend for sure. If you are into more aggressive styles of music like I generally am, then maybe still steer clear. From there, we move into a new track from 90s alt-rock stalwarts Bush. Bush has released a new song called All Things Must Change. It's the new single from their album that came out in 2022. They're releasing a deluxe version of that album. The name of the album is The Art of Survival. The name of this song is, again, All Things Must Change. This was not on the regular version of the album, so it is legitimately new music from Bush. It's Gavin Rossdale writes a hell of a song. I really dig the guitar tones. I really dig the structure of the song, and I like the riffs and the little bit of chunkiness that we've been getting more recently from Bush. I just don't like modern alt rock, I guess you could still call it, production. The vocals sit way too high in the mix. There's not enough of the band behind the vocals, so it's just my producer's ear kind of freaking out a little bit. Very well done song. Gavin Rossdale, like I said, is a treasure. So yeah, absolutely a recommend. Even if you're not into the alternative rock necessarily, you should be into Bush because everybody has an appreciation for Bush, I feel like. That's what we got there. Let's move next to one of the more unexpected things in today's episode, and that is The Hives have released new music. The name of this song is called Bogus Apparandi. It is coming from their new album, the first new album from The Hives in 11 years, called The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons. It will be out on August 11th. It is a really great tune. I dig The Hives. I don't like a lot of the trendy pop rock stuff from the early aughts, late 90s. The Hives, The Vines, The Strokes, the bands, The White Stripes, The Black Keys, and The Hives are about as much as I got into that stuff because I feel like those guys kind of set themselves apart in very different ways, obviously. And The Hives are showing us why they are one of the better bands from that era of music. Oh my god, I dig this track so much. It's nothing necessarily exceptional in the Hives catalog, but the Hives catalog being what it is, that's not really a low bar to be judging things on. So yes, absolutely go check out Bogus Apparandi. Go check out the new Hives record when it drops August 11th. Let's move on with the episode, shall we? From that, we don't have any tour. Actually, no, we do have one minor tour date news piece. There were a couple other tours announced, nothing like extensive, and honestly not from bands that I feel like are really worth covering just yet. Some of them are just young bands that need to whatever. We're gonna keep going. So the one piece of actual tour news we do have is The Hives are going on a world tour in support of this new record. So yeah, link in the description, you can see all the dates, and hopefully eventually there will be ticket links in there as well. If not, I apologize, and you're gonna have to do a little Google searching on your own. That's what we got for tours. Let's talk about some regular ass news. Regular ass news in the music section. I think technically this one's a follow-up, but I can't remember if we actually talked about it when it was announced or not. But Dolly Parton is doing a rock and roll record because she got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and she's never done such things. So she said, I might as well do something to earn it. And that's a bit of a paraphrase, but yeah. So the record date has been released. It is going to be November 7th of this year. It is going to be 4 LP set. There are going to be 4 discs, be it vinyl. Actually, no, probably if it's vinyl, it's going to be a little bit more than 4, but CD and otherwise, 4 pieces of physical media is how she's releasing this. There is a link down in the description. You can see the entire track listing and all of the guest vocalists that are going to be on this thing. And there's at least one on every song. Most of them have 2 to 3 to 4. She's really going all out with all of her connections in the rock and roll world, and it shows with this rock star record. So pretty awesome for Dolly. Let's move over to the other piece of regular ass news we have, and that is Sum 41 are breaking up, kind of. Sum 41 are putting out a new record. Who knew Sum 41 was still a band? I kind of knew they were doing Nostalgia Circuit stuff, kind of like some of the other bands from that era. I'm blanking, and we're trying to get through this episode fast, so I'm just going to keep going. But I knew they were doing Nostalgia stuff, and I knew like there was some band turmoil a few years back, which is why I kind of thought they weren't doing anything new. But I was proven wrong with the announcement that they are going to be releasing one more album called Heaven X Hell. It is going to be out sometime this year, though no release date has been set and no tour dates have been set in support of this, though they did say in the announcement that they're going to be breaking up that they're also going to do a world tour before the breakup. So once the new record comes out, they're going on tour, and then Sum 41 is officially disbanded. For now. We don't know how long this is going to stay, but it is what it is. That's what we got for regular ass news. That moves us into music suggestions for the episode. In continuing with this Killswitch Engage Howard Jones ordeal, we're doing a single song, not a record this time for suggestions, and that is Signal Fire by Killswitch Engage, featuring both Howard Jones and current vocalist and previous vocalist Jesse Leach on the track. When this song released and I first listened to it, it was like a religious experience. I've seen them do this live with both vocalists. I've also seen them do this live with just Jesse, and it just doesn't have the same effect. Only with Howard's power and Jesse's lyricism can this song be fully appreciated. Go listen to it, go watch the video. Every time I listen to this song, it is revisiting that religious experience, and I feel like it should be the same for you. So, that's what we got for music. Let's move now into gaming and tech. First up, we have some follow-ups for gaming and tech, and one correction, because I was a dumbass in the last episode. Starting things off, Hogwarts Legacy, this is just an update, it has surpassed $1.1 billion in sales. It's only been out for 3 months. That is a huge achievement. Congratulations to everybody associated with the creation of this game. To certain degrees, everybody through the creation of the content in which that it was based upon, word salad. But yeah, so that's pretty awesome. Congratulations, moving on. Next is Starfield. Update on this game. We just got the ESRB rating. Some really interesting stuff in there as far as why it's mature rated, but as we all expected, it's mature rated. The big thing that has the community up in arms is the in-game purchases portion of the ESRB rating. That doesn't necessarily denote microtransactions. Granted, we are in current year, and that is kind of the state of the gaming industry, and they are owned now by Microsoft, so probably there is a good reason to believe there will be some form of microtransactions in very likely cosmetic aspects of the game. Nothing that's going to exactly change the gameplay, though with Bethesda, we have had in previous games, we have had DLC that quantified as in-game purchases. So it could just be the DLC, it could just be the expansions that they're referring to. Again, not super likely because Microsoft, 2023, so forth and so on. So yeah, I don't think there's really that much to worry about unless you really are a completionist and you need to have everything associated with certain games or certain developers or what have you. Then yeah, it's really probably going to be a minimal impact unless you want to get the DLC, which most of us will. That being said, that's what we've got there. And then our correction for gaming and tech has to do with Street Fighter VI. So previously, the last episode actually very specifically, I said I was going to go download the demo for Street Fighter VI and made it the gaming and tech suggestion for the episode. Because I misread the announcement, it was not an open beta. It was a closed beta for the demo. So you had to have an invite, and I couldn't find an invite, and I got egg on my face. I'm owning it. I apologize. There is an update for this as well. The actual open beta is going to be May 19th through the 21st. So the weekend next week, it will only be for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, and PC. So if you are working on older hardware like I am still, unfortunately, you will not be able to engage in the beta, but reportedly, it is still going to be launching on the older hardware, so crossing my fingers that I don't have to update my Xbox just yet. That is everything we have there. Let's move into regular-ass news for gaming and tech. No trailers, no exceptional other things. So, first things first, let's talk about this Twitter situation, shall we? Twitter is going full platform. They have gone full platform, and they're headed in a very interesting direction. So the announcement for this came through an announcement for a show that was going to be happening on said Twitter platform. Tucker Carlson is going exclusive to Twitter. So the details still very much remain to be seen exactly how this is going to work, how you are going to be able to have a creator account. Because as it stands right now, if you don't do Twitter Blue, if you don't pay them the $8 a month, then you're capped at about 2 minutes and I think it's 20 seconds for video. And, you know, vertical video is kind of enforced, not necessarily enforced, but encouraged. Let's say encouraged. Vertical video is encouraged because, generally speaking, people digest Twitter content on their cell phone. So vertical is basically the best way to do it. But it seems that with Tucker's video a couple weeks ago and then the announcement for this, or a couple last week, I guess, he's done everything in the horizontal video and it seems that maybe now that they're turning full platform, we should be expecting actually some visual changes to the layout of Twitter, very likely even changes with the way that they present things on a PC situation inside of a PC environment. So that's going to be interesting watching those changes, but also like, do you have to pay Twitter Blue to create content that is then going to bring in ad revenue so then they pay you back? Details, like I said, are very, very scarce. This is the first actual show that is being announced for Twitter. So as things roll out with Tucker, we will probably be getting a lot more updates to this. Also, should be worth noted that Elon Musk very explicitly has said that there will not be any special privileges given to Tucker or anyone who creates on this platform. Everyone will still be subject to the issues that we've talked about previously as far as content and going against community guidelines and so on and so forth. So if things in any of the shows, Tucker included, are found to be misinformation or purposefully wrong or harmful or against the law in some sort of way, then they will still be subject to the reprimands associated therein. So, very interesting. He's also called out the other creators. Specifically, he wants creators from the opposite ideology of Tucker Carlson. So in America, that would be the American left. And he wants as many different voices on his platform as possible. So again, very interesting situation with this. We will be keeping tabs. That's what we've got there, though. Let's move over. Then we have a gaming news piece as well. There is a new game that is coming to Steam called 100 Acre Wood. Previously, we've talked about the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey movie. Watched it. It was not terrible. As not great as it was, it also wasn't terrible, but that's a whole different thing. We now have a new horror franchise, or a new horror IP, I guess, dealing with Winnie the Pooh. It's a video game. It's a first-person shooter. The premise for the game is really interesting because it has nothing to do with Blood and Honey, aside from the fact that it's horror-themed. But Winnie the Pooh and apparently all of the animals in the 100 Acre Woods, so Piglet, the owl, Kanga, I have them written down and I'm not seeing them. Eeyore is going to be included in this, and Rabbit, and I already said Piglet. All right, so all of those characters, and including Pooh, have been twisted by some otherworldly power, as quoted from the developers. Otherworldly power, and has changed them into eldritch terrors to some degree, but only Winnie the Pooh is evil because apparently the player is going to get aid from the other characters, i.e. Eeyore, Piglet, etc., etc. Still no Tigger associated with this. No Tigger in the movie, no Tigger in this game. Very interesting. Maybe Tigger is a Disney creation that is not yet in public domain. I don't know that because I didn't do the research and I apologize. But this is going to be, the premise is the player is trying to save Christopher Robin, ostensibly from Winnie the Pooh, and you get help from the other characters in the 100 Acre Wood in to that end. I'm very intrigued I didn't see any system specs or anything just yet. I don't think they have officially announced the release date for this yet, just the fact that they are currently working on it. So as more comes out, we will be keeping you updated on this. That is what we got for gaming and tech, except for suggestions, just because Bethesda is great, and this is one of the only other franchises I spend any significant amount of time in. Fallout 4 is our suggestion for this week. I realize Fallout 4 is a little bit divisive in the Bethesda fan community, but Fallout 4 is also the only, well, and 76, I guess, technically speaking, but Fallout 4 is the first, and I feel like, in some ways superior, way to build developments in the Fallout universe. And that is what, I've had this game since about a week after it launched, still have never finished the main story. So yeah, get lost in Fallout 4, go build some settlements, go save some settlers and do the thing, because that is your gaming and tech suggestion for the week. Moving from there, let's get into comic books and books. We have some trailers. We have no follow-ups, no corrections. We have trailers, though. First up, actually, the only trailer we have, I apologize, not multiple, singular. First trailer and only trailer is Gargoyles, the Dynamite Entertainment book that has been going for some time, that has been penned by original Gargoyles creator Greg Weissman, is getting collected into its first trade, and they launched a trailer in order to sell said trade. And this, I think, is what a lot of modern comic book readers wait for, is for the collected edition, or the trade, if you will. It is going to be July 12th when the trade launches. Go watch the trailer, because it's pretty freaking awesome. That's what we got for trailers. Let's talk about regular ass news. We only have one piece of regular news for comic books and books, and it's actually book related and not comic related. Dune, a masterpiece in disarray, the David Lynch Dune and oral history, something like that. This book is going to be a collection of historical anecdotes around the David Lynch Dune movie that launched to everybody's dismay back in the 80s. It's so crazy. It's interesting in so many ways. I think we've talked about the movie a number of times on the channel. September 6th is when it's going to be on bookshelves, if you want to just thumb through it at Barnes & Noble, or maybe you want to get your hands on a digital version, or actually spend some money on it. September 6th is when you're going to be able to do that. Just be very interesting to see the behind-the-scenes accounts from the people involved. That being said, we have one more thing to do with comic books and books, and that is suggestions for comic books and books. We have Dark Knight's Metal. I just grabbed, and I left it downstairs, I apologize. I just grabbed another book in the Dark Knight's Metal universe. Series of events, I guess, is probably more appropriate. It is the Dark Knight's Metal, Dark Knight's Rising. I really dig it. This is such an interesting story inside of the DC ethos that everyone should at least be aware of it. So even if you don't end up picking up the books, maybe go to your local comic book shop and thumb through it a little bit, or just read the wiki entry, something. Make yourself aware of the Dark Knight's Metal events that happened a few years back. It's incredibly interesting, even if you don't agree that it's also incredibly good. Maybe incredibly good is a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's really good. So that is your suggestion for comic books and books this week. From there, we go into television. The TV section this week is a little bit massive, so we're going to have to go even faster. First up, we have follow-ups and corrections. Follow-up on Sweet Tooth. Season 3 has just been confirmed by Netflix. We will be, in fact, seeing a third season in the Jeff Lemire adaptation live action over on the Netflix. From there, we have The Bear has also announced Season 2. We knew it was coming. Now we have a release date. Season 2 release date is June 22nd. It will be the entire season on Hulu as of June 22nd. Super, super stoked about that one. Walker Independence, the CW show that is a spinoff of the Walker Texas Ranger show that the CW is doing with Jared Jared Padalecki? Yeah, Jared Padalecki. Not Jensen Ackles. Jensen Ackles is the other one. Jared Padalecki is involved here. He was an executive producer on the Independence show. It has been canceled at the CW after just a single season. I don't know that the nerd world is really going to take notice for that one, but, you know, it is to each their own. Yellowstone. We have an update for Yellowstone Season 5. Previously, we reported that it was going to be the final season, and then they came out and said, no, we've got plans past season 5, so season 5 is not the end of it, which many people, myself included, took to mean maybe they have more seasons for Yellowstone lined up. And now they have come out and said, no, season 5 is the last of the main series. We have a sequel series all lined up, which we previously have talked about in the rumors section. So this is kind of confirmation of a rumor in a way. But yeah, there is going to be a sequel series that comes out of this, very likely not including Kevin Costner, but that is speculation on my part. So season 5 will in fact be the final season. The second half of season 5 still has no release date. When that happens, we will talk about it. That's what we got for follow-ups and corrections. Let's talk now about trailers, because a whole slew of them have come out since we last spoke. And first up, we have Twisted Metal. This is coming out July 27th on Peacock. This legitimately is getting me a little hype for this movie. I say little hype because I have very low expectations for this. But this looks like they might be doing something interesting. True to the source material, that's questionable, but interesting nonetheless. Go check it out. Next on the list, we have Tiny Toons Looniversity. We talked about the announcement of this series. It is going to Hulu. It is going to be, or not Hulu, I apologize. It's going to Max, formerly HBO Max. It's a continuation of the Tiny Toons animated series back in the day that was on Fox Kids, I'm pretty sure, that came on right about the same time, in the general vicinity of, anyway, the Batman the Animated Series show, and Freakazoid, we got Hysteria, all of those shows happen about Animaniacs also, which is why the Hulu thing came into my head, because Animaniacs went to Hulu, but this one's, the Looniversity is going to Max. So, yeah, interesting, but it is what it is. This trailer specifically is not doing a whole lot to pique my interest, because it doesn't seem like they're going to be pushing the envelope necessarily like Tiny Toons did when I was a kid. It was a kid show with adult humor, much like the Animaniacs, and the Animaniacs new stuff kind of pulls this off. It does not seem like the Looniversity is going to do the same. So, I don't know. Go watch the trailer. Let me know what you think. Next up in the trailers, we have Walking Dead, Dead City. Also, there's an update with the Daryl spinoff here. Daryl spinoff is going to be happening this year. No specific release date, just late sometime this year. But the Dead City series trailer, this is Negan's a wanted man. We've got so much intrigue in these. I'm just getting super hyped for the Walking Dead spinoff stuff. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a big fan. I don't care what you say. Let's move on. Next trailer we got is Clone High, another animated revival also going to Max. Wasn't a huge fan of the original series, though I am interested at least for the first few episodes to see what they can do now that they have changed platforms over to a streamer instead of, you know, trying to do the MTV thing. So very interested there. May 23rd for Clone High. And then Critical Role has announced their next storyline, I guess is how that goes. It's going to be called Candela Obscura. It's going to begin May 25th. The trailer down in the description, the link rather for the trailer is down in the description. I've been kind of a passive fan of Critical Role. This is a bit of a change in format as far as I understand it. So yeah, I'm digging it. Go watch the trailer. Let me know what you think. Let's move on. From there, we have regular ass news. Let's talk about the writer's strike, shall we? So writer's strike, the Writers Guild of America is striking. It is putting on hold a lot of in-production shows that we have been talking about actively. To name just a few, we have Daredevil, We have Blade. I honestly, those are the only two I put for that point, but there's a number of other ones. And then the big controversy here is that Superman Legacy is not yet being affected by this writer's strike, because the original, or the main draft that they're going to be working off of for the script has already been turned in. And so James Gunn is just going to continue work until he has writers who can help him punch it up while they're filming, and so on and so forth. So that's kind of stuck in the thorn, it's been a thorn in the side for a number of people to this point, but I mean, it's his property, man. Like, let the man do what he wants to do. He's not hurting for money like most of the other writers are, because he's more than just a writer. He's a director, he's a producer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I don't think he's really out there holding signs in support of the writer's strike. I'm sure he supports it for people who need the increase in funds, but I don't think he's one of those people that needs the increase in funds. So, yeah, that's what we got for the writer's strike. I mean, there's a great amount of other information about the writer's strike. If you want to know the specifics about, you know, they're trying to renegotiate what they did circa, what was that, 2004, 2005, when the Heroes season 3 was so terrible. So they're trying to do what they did then with networks, they're trying to do now with streaming platforms. So it's effectively a similar situation, though there's a little bit of nuance that changes it up. But yeah, that's kind of the TLDR of what's going on. From there, let's move over to Doctor Who. We just got Agent Smith, Jonathan Groff, actor, Agent Smith actor Jonathan Groff, sorry, has been cast in a mysterious role for series 14 of Doctor Who, modern Doctor Who. Premieres this November, that's all we really have. Let's move right along. And then, oh, this, I forgot about this until just now. Letterkenny is giving us another one-off special episode. May 19th, the announcement was just made via the Letterkenny Problems Twitter account. If you're a fan of Letterkenny, then you know we get usually one of these every season. No announcement as to what the subject matter of this special episode is going to be. Generally speaking, when they do these, they have something to do with holiday for that year that they're usually released around, but there's not a whole lot around May 19th. So maybe Mother's Day in America, though I think that's even a little ways off. So yeah, very interested in what this is, because big fan of Letterkenny. That's all we've got in regular ass news, which means we're to TV suggestions, Sweet Tooth, because, you know, season 3 just got announced, you might as well catch up now. I certainly am. I just started to watch the first 3 episodes at some point during the last week. Again, the last week's been a bit of a blur. But yeah, it's really good. I really love Lee Meyer, really love his stuff, and really love the fact that this actually got made. So go check out Sweet Tooth on Netflix. If you haven't yet, you owe it to yourself. If you are falling behind, then, you know, you've got a little bit of time before season 3 happens. So there you go. From there, we're talking about movies in the movie section. This one's just as much as the TV section. We just have a whole bunch of stuff. So follow-ups and corrections. First up, Alita, Battle Angel. A sequel movie is in fact in pre-production, very early stages of pre-production, but pre-production nonetheless. This was announced by producer Jon Landau just a few days ago. Super stoked. Moving on. From there, we have the MTV Movie and Video Awards happened and nobody cared. Okay, moving on. Beetlejuice 2. I said in the intro to the full episode that Beetlejuice is a big update. We have a big update for Beetlejuice. We actually have 2 updates for Beetlejuice. First up, we have the release date has been penciled in ever so lightly, but penciled in for September 6th of 2024. So we have just over a year and a half or so before we get to feast our eyes on this movie that's been rumored and in some form of development hell since, the release of the first one. Also, the other piece of news here we have is Justin Theroux has been announced as being cast. No word as to what he's been cast as or, you know, anything along those lines, but he is part of the cast now, and we know that. And that's all we got. So let's move into trailers. Again, boatload of trailers have been launched since we last spoke. First up, Justice League War World, the first of the animated Warner Brothers movies to bear an R rating, to my knowledge. Do amazing research and take incredible notes, so I could be wrong. But pretty sure, at least in the current era of the Warner Brothers Animation Studios, this is the first one to get an R rating. No firm release date for it just yet, but very intrigued. We talked previously about the voice cast, so this is not news, but very intrigued by this voice cast. Also very intrigued by the R rating and why exactly. I mean, blood and action and violence and stuff, but yeah. Interested? Moving on. Next, we have Dune Part 2 trailer finally has actually made it to the internet. Not any of those fan-made trailers that are trying to spook everybody into thinking things are happening that aren't happening or that are made by AI or, you know, all of the things that are tricking people into, oh, that's exactly... No, that's not what that... This is the official Dune 2 trailer. Link down in the description. Yeah, super excited because I just actually rewatched Dune Part 1 and it's so good. I love Denis Villeneuve, but yeah, there you go. Dune Part 2 finally hit the internet. Go watch it because the sandworms were riding Shai Hulud, ladies and gentlemen. Then we have the trailer for Gran Turismo. This is not what I expected this movie to be. I also didn't know that this was kind of sort of based on actual events. So yeah, weird. the other thing that I thought was interesting about this trailer, I totally forgot. I don't even know if we talked about it on the show, but I totally forgot. Neil Blomkamp is the director on this one. Yeah, the dude who brought us District 9, who almost brought us a Halo movie, who has done a number of great things, is doing this. I mean, this has the potential to be really good. I just don't know how great it could be, if you follow. So yeah, very intrigued. August 11th is the release date for the Gran Turismo movie. Next up in trailers, we got Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. November 17th is the release date for this one. I don't think this trailer's doing its job because I really don't care. From that, we have Oppenheimer has finally released another full-length trailer. We have September 21st as the release date for this, and this is the most Christopher Nolan trailer to ever Christopher Nolan, as produced by Christopher Nolan. It has his fingerprints all over it already, and we've only got, I think this is the first full-length trailer, and we got like two teaser trailers, if I remember correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what we got there. And then another one that kind of came out of the blue, we have a Bird Box spinoff. We've been talking about this kind of off and on for the last little while, but now we have a trailer for it. Bird Box Barcelona is the proper name of the movie, and it's going to be, as I'm assuming, based off of this trailer, it's a real quick tease, but based off of this, it seems that it's going to be taking place at the same time as the Sandra Bullock movie, just in a different part of the world. So, interesting. Not that the Sandra Bullock movie was perfect, but it was good. It was definitely a watchable horror movie. So, sure, I still think Quiet Place is the better version of that story, but that's just me. Yeah, so that's what we got there. Netflix exclusive, I don't know if I said that. Let's move into regular ass news, and we have a gigantic announcement for regular ass news. Babylon 5, animated movie, coming out. There's no release date for it yet, but announced by creator J. Michael Straczynski. This is huge. It's not exactly what the fandom wanted necessarily, because animated movie and not live action, but... still something. Still great. Moving on. Next for regular ass news. Oh, this one's really cool. This one's really, really cool. Carrie Fisher, aka Princess Leia and Tom Hanks's wife in The Burbs. I can't even remember the character's name and I apologize, but she's equally as great in that movie. Just is getting a posthumous square on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Super excited for her. Congratulations, Carrie. May you rest in peace. Power, whichever. That's what we got for regular ass news. Let's talk about movie suggestion. The movie suggestion for the week is one we've done at least once or twice before, and that is Brick, Rian Johnson's film debut. One of my top five movies of all time. If you are intrigued by film noir, but you can't really get into it, this is a hard-boiled film noir detective story as told through the lens of high school students, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and it is kind of brilliant. It's a little bit of a masterpiece and is absolutely worth your hour and a half plus. It's such a good movie. This is why so many people were disappointed with the quality of The Last Jedi. And yeah, just go watch it. It's great. Moving on. From there, we have rumor mill. We have confirmation. This is actually a refutation of a rumor that we did not talk about because I think it blew up and then also was refuted by the actor involved, all while I was dealing with the death of my grandma. So, Fantastic Four, Mila Kunis was rumored to be playing the Thing. Thingette, I guess, is kind of what people are calling it. And this is kind of a thing in, no pun intended, in the comic books. There was apparently a female Thing, and I don't remember that at all. But apparently it was a thing. I'm going to stop saying Thing now. Mila Kunis has come out recently and said, no, she is not going to be associated with this movie. But she did also say she knows who is. So that's not shooting down the idea of a Thingette, just the fact that Mila Kunis will not be playing it. So, there you go. Let's get into new sources for old rumors. We have another Mortal Kombat source coming out for the Johnny Cage situation. This time, changing the actor rumored to be playing Johnny Cage to Carl Urban? Oh boy. Also, as part of this same news source talking about the casting of Johnny Cage, they're talking about how Baraka will join sides with Johnny Cage out of respect. Extending even further on this same source, it says that Johnny Cage is going to become the leader of the Earthrealm forces throughout the course of this movie. So we kind of have three rumors here. First up, Carl Urban for Johnny Cage. Possibly? I can kind of see it. Like, he's a pretty good actor. He can pull it off. He's just a little aged out, I think, of the role, but also I can't think of the actor's name who played Scorpion in the first movie, theoretically is aged out of that role as well, so it's a really good source, and honestly, it's a number of really good sources who are saying this, that Carl Urban is circling the drain as far as signing the contract for this, and I have to give it like a 70% likelihood. I don't like that, but that is what it is. The second part of this is Baraka being a good guy. Oh boy, if that's true. So wrong. If that's true, we have a lot to worry about for the sequel of one of the more passable video game adaptation movies. We're going to put the Baraka bit at 50%, and then Johnny Cage becoming the leader of Earthrealm forces. That makes a little bit of sense because that eventually happens in the gaming mythology, so maybe they want to cut a lot of corners to get us there in the movie world so we can catch the movie story up with where they are in the games. Sure, okay, I'll let that one happen. I can see a way to that. We're going to put that at a more probable 75% likely, and that's probably just because story and things. So yeah, that's what we got for Mortal Kombat 2. Oh, and these are the new sources. We don't usually do percentages on new sources. That was a brain fart. I apologize. Fantastic Four, new source for the casting. We've been keeping tabs on this. it's saying that we have Margot Robbie is going to be cast as Sue Storm. This one is like throwing all of the other names out and just going with Margot Robbie. I mean, she's kind of huge right now. Do I see her as Sue Storm? Really, no. She could do a number of things associated with the Fantastic Four, but Sue Storm, not exactly the same image that Margot Robbie carries with her, but, you know, kind of is what it is. Then we have PlayStation 5. Wait, I'm getting lost. I apologize. Continuing with Fantastic Four. These are technically new sources to other things, but new rumors as well. So we're going to give these ones percentages is what I'm saying. Antonio Banderas is rumored to be cast as Galactus. We know that Galactus is going to be the big bad for this movie. Antonio Banderas as Galactus. Sure. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever, Marvel. Do what you're gonna do. You'll be out of business eventually anyway. I like Antonio Banderas, but again, weird casting choice. I'm not gonna come out and say it's a horrible casting choice, if this is to be believed, because like we've gone through this path before. We know that they make strange choices that end up working out in the end. See Hugh Jackman. It's not a Marvel casting, but see Michael Keaton. Other things like that have worked out very, very well. So could this be one of those? Sure. Will it be? I don't think so. But rumor for Antonio Banderas, we're going to give that one... It comes from a good source, too. We're going to say 60% here, just because I couldn't verify from other sources. So there you go. And then we have one more rumor here. Again, since we know that Galactus is going to be the big bad for the movie, we have rumors saying that his Herald, in fact, is not going to be the Silver Surfer character. The rumored Herald is said to be Terax, who was the Herald in the comics for a while, and also there is going to be, very potentially, more than just one Herald, none of which, save for possibly at the end of the movie, are going to be the Silver Surfer. So, likelihood here, this one comes from, like, honestly, I think this one even comes from the trades at this point, so it's all but said and done. Will Silver Surfer be in the movie? Probably. Will he be the Herald? Probably by the end of the movie, so in the credit scene or something, I'm sure, post-credit scene. But Terax as the main Herald of Galactus, yeah, very likely. We're going to say 80% there. That's what we got. Let's move next into Metal Gear Solid 3. Just an expansion on previous rumors that we've been talking about for this game. Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, rumored to be a PS5 exclusive, at least for a set amount of time, not exclusive in perpetuity. So that's cool. Video game rumors come from usually amazing sources. This one's one of them, so believe it. It's very likely. Okay, so that leaves only the new rumors, which we have to give the percentages to all of these. So first up, we have Captain America 4. And I say that one, sometimes I you know, just kind of take the notes quickly and can't write all the words. This time, very specifically, I left off the subtitle because that is what this rumor is dealing with. The rumor says that there is not that they're not going to be calling it New World Order anymore. There is speculation associated with this from a number of sources, but the rumor, the bare bones of the rumor is just that. They're dropping the subtitle, possibly in favor of a new subtitle, but what that new subtitle is going to be, nobody really knows just yet. The speculation here is kind of the reason why I'm going to give this as high of a likelihood as I'm going to, is that there is going to be a shift in the rights to Hulk movies in the very, very near future. And because the Captain America 4 movie is supposed to be revolving around a number of different Hulks, we have at the very least Bruce Banner Hulk, and we have the Theodore Ross, President Hulk, the Red Hulk. So we at the very least have those two, very likely going to see She-Hulk, going to see probably Abomination, see a number of different Hulks in here. The speculation goes on to say that they might be looking at a World War Hulk situation, because if they are going to be getting the rights back to do that, then there you go. So, likelihood that they're dropping the subtitle for Captain America, seems pretty likely. We're going to put this one at about a 70% likelihood. It's not the greatest source, but it's a pretty good one. And it's actually coming from two or three other places as well. So, yeah, 70%. Let's move on. Star Wars, we have two rumors here. First up, Dave Filoni. Movie producers reportedly want to include Luke, Leia, and Han in the Dave Filoni movie, the Mandalorian movie, if you will. This seems super freaking likely. There has been other things that have come out recently about the Star Wars situation as it pertains to Luke Skywalker, that kind of lead you to believe that the previous rumor we reported on, not as likely as once thought, as far as Luke Skywalker not being a focal point for Star Wars. Now there's other rumors coming out and saying that actually, in fact, the people who own such things and have the ability to dictate such things actually want Luke to be as a part of many, many projects. So, and then that the original leaker kind of walked their statement back a little bit, saying that he is going to be involved. He's just not going to be the primary focus for a lot of things. So, yeah, it seems very likely that they're pushing this onto Filoni. Now, as far as Leia and Han, I mean, we've seen what they've got done as far as de-aging tech and deep fakes and all that stuff. So, yeah, very likely we'll see something to do with that. So, Dave Filoni putting Luke, Leia, and Han in his Mando movie, very, very freaking likely. I'm going to say probably about an 80% chance we will get some sort of cameo from those three characters. As far as who the actors are underneath the digital makeup, that remains to be seen. The other rumor we have here has to do with Damon Lindelof's movie, and the other one that was announced at the Star Wars Celebration, one of the three, that this rumor says that it is going to be featuring old Rey training a new generation of Jedi. So this could theoretically kill two birds with one Kathleen Kennedy Stone, right? Because Damon Lindelof already is going to do probably something good. I don't know how great he's going to be, because I did watch Watchmen. But I kind of dig... This is probably a safe way to include Rey in movies going forward, is to kind of age her forward a little bit and give her Padawans, give her a Jedi training school, give her something like that, so that she's still associated but not the focus necessarily. I think that's a good idea. This one comes from a super, super bad source though. So we're going to give this one a 50% just because I kind of like it. So moving right along, we have more Disney stuff, Disney specifically. First up, in an attempt to... I'm sorry, I take that back. Only one more Disney movie. Let's rephrase. In an attempt to increase the quality of their movies, because they understand that we have not been big fans of their more recent endeavors in the movie realm, they have reportedly... set forth better pay for writers, and then this rumor broke just a couple of days before the WGA strike. So maybe it wasn't enough. Very interesting. I don't think it's likely though. I don't think that Disney would acknowledge their bad, their poor decision making in such a way. I think there would be other things that they would do first. So I don't know how likely this is. We're gonna probably put this one. This is a rough one because like they're going to have to pay their writers better now because that's what the strike is all about. So, and also I think this is even less likely because of the way they're dealing with the strike, because they're making producers and showrunners and everybody else that is not a writer associated with certain projects, they're forcing them to continue work on their projects. So no, I don't think this was an accurate rumor at all. We're going to put this one right about 20%, but there's no way we can confirm it. So that's sucks. But moving on, Gladiator 2, casting rumor for Gladiator 2. Pedro Pascal apparently is going to be in everything. No, Pedro Pascal just got announced as cast in, I can't even remember now because it's not in the notes, a different movie. So Gladiator 2 that's in production, like late stages of pre-production, or the new movie that he legitimately was just recently announced for? I'm going to go for the latter there, Dave. Not likely that Pedro Pascal is going to be part of Gladiator 2. We're going to say 35% roughly on this one. And then we have two. Hey, I got fingers. Two Mortal Kombat 12 rumors. Gaming, baby, gaming. Mortal Kombat 12 supposedly is going to be revealed this month at the PlayStation Showcase. Also, second rumor, Peacemaker also going to be revealed at the PlayStation Showcase this month as far as guest characters are concerned, apparently. Because they're so closely related, that's why we did it that way. But, so, announcing your Mortal Kombat game at the PlayStation Showcase, not a horrible idea. It's no E3. It's no big personalized event. It's no game awards, like all of the other options that they had to do this. But it still seems fairly likely. Gaming rumors, usually pretty good. This is a new source for gaming rumors, though, so not tried and true. We're going to put this one 50-50 because so much could go in either direction. It just doesn't seem fair to kind of give it a tip in one way or the other. As far as Peacemaker goes, being announced as a guest character as part of the game announcement, not bloody likely. We're going to say 20% for the Peacemaker bit of this. And that, nerds, is the end of the proper episode. Thank you very much for sitting through. I'm sure there were some really janky edits because there were a number of things as I'm filming that, you know, needed to be edited and just, I don't know how I'm going to do it. But thank you for sitting through the ramblings and joining me every week. We do this news show. Personal YouTube channel at Generally Nerdy. You can check out the smaller, more digestible chunks at Nerd News Clips is the other YouTube channel. If you want to find me on audio platforms, I am out on anything as far as audio goes. You can find me on like SoundCloud and stuff. Or if you want to check out the Nerdy Legion stuff, there's a bunch of podcasts over at nerdylegion.com that you can check out that are all about nerd life and comic books and so on and so forth. Or Big Show Entertainment Media, still pretty stagnant on that outlet, but things are always brewing as far as Ben goes. So that's where we're sitting. Thank you very much, nerds, for joining me. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, do all the things. I appreciate your faces. Before we go, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here.